One mind, one world, ladies, gentlemen, aliens alike. Move this down so people can better. Welcome to Across the Pond. This is your host of Across the Pond, the Lonely Ronin. All the best from the Midwest. Attican, Addy Az, hosting today. With my co-host and most featured guest. I would even call him a co-host, yes. You know him well, Neil Samworth, Sam Samworth, our favorite screw. Everyone's favorite screw. From Yorkshire, England. Let me get a banner going. He'll be joining me shortly. I am broadcasting today, shortly after 1 a.m. Central Time. It is 1:11 a.m. actually. Saturday, 22nd of August. Hope everyone is off to a great Friday over in the United Kingdom, my early risers. Most of the Americans are either up late, night owls, or up really early. And we got Mr. Sam Samworth himself and Goose as well.
Yeah,
He's
man.
making an appearance.
Hello, baby. How you doing, kid?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I am good. Glad to talk to you, Sam. It's been a minute. But yeah, I'm doing okay. Just trying to stay consistent with my broadcasting. Stay learning, stay educating myself. But I like your light blue shirt you got there.
Well, we aim to please, don't we, Goosey? Are we
Yeah.
live?
Yes, sir, we are. We are live.
So it's the Lonely Ronin with the Yorkshire Yoda.
Yeah, I stole your meme in my response to your tweet earlier this week. I think you saw. I posted a submission to Anna Breese's channel. If anybody wants to see that, it's on my channel and hers. She's doing these citizen tidbits from around the world
Oh
from
yeah.
various English speakers from mostly the United Kingdom, but also Australia. And I think I might have been the first American. I'm not really sure. But yeah, it was a good experience. And I'm glad, grateful that she allowed me to do that. So that was good. But yeah, how have you been recently, Sam? Doing okay over there in Yorkshire?
I've got this pigging cough I've had for a month now. My quack made me go for a COVID test. That was a worthwhile experience. Yeah. So there's a couple of test centres near me, yeah. One at Batley and one at Leeds. So the missus went online on the same day to book me a test, yeah. So you have to drive there. So the one at Batley had got 8 places. That's all. To put it in perspective, the one at Leeds had got 1,100 places in the day. Batley has had a bit of an outbreak. However, well, I'll tell you about the test. When I turned up, huge car park. We have what you call, there should be more of them, park and rides outside city centres, yeah, where you can commute, park your car, get on a tram or a bus. And they take you into the town centre. It's a good idea. There's not enough of them, and there's not enough trams and shite like that. So the one I went to, it's all coned off, loads of cabins. So you go in, they direct you to a cabin, someone checks who you are. You have to leave the windows up in your car. They then give you a test kit in your car, read instructions, do your test, drive to another cabin. They step back, put a bin, put your testing in, away you go. You get a text after a couple of days. There was hundreds of people on this car park not being tested. You know, one of my friends is doing it, sort of stood around in case people need help.
So you applied it yourself, Sam? You did your own test?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do my own. I had somebody did it for me.
Well, they're probably testing that many people. They would do it. It would help you or do it for you. So I did it myself. I've got a big beef now with this.
Yeah. I didn't know you guys use that slang, Sam.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll tell you what my issue is, right?
What's the beef?
We've done 4 months of going in my local farm shop that I tell you about, that I love. And then all of a sudden, we have to start wearing masks everywhere. So I don't know whether you know, in London, they built a big hospital. 4,000-bed hospital. In case the NHS got overrun, it was a cost. There or thereabouts, I might not be bang on, but I think it cost 33 million, yeah? So they put it up in a very short period of time. Yeah, it was on the news. Rows and rows of beds, all equipment, ventilators, everything, yeah? So they're now telling us they're locking areas down. What they're not saying, Addy, is loads of people, like myself, are now having tests. So, you know, that figure they're on about, I always forget what it's called, and you have to remind me. The ratio.
R-naught, right?
R-naught. Right, on, yeah. R-naught now has gone up, yeah? So what? I know, right, so people have died. I am not a heartless person yet. I understand that.
We know that,
you know. It has affected, you know, a lot of people who were ill. Yeah, there'll be the odd person who was healthy, who it struck down, which is terrible. You know, it's taking one or two young children. That's terrible. But now, looking at this country, that hospital I'm telling you about, Addy,
yeah,
they've knocked down at a cost of 11 million. It's gone.
What? So, no, they didn't.
Yes, they did. So, no, so. They did. So this is my problem, right? Yeah? This is my problem. If it's so serious now, they've all got to start wearing masks and locking areas down. Why have they got rid of that hospital? Yeah? There'll be people on NHS now, if anyone sees this, going, what's he know, blah, blah. Listen, it's like the flu, mate. My problem is now, I told you last time we spoke, one or two friends have been made redundant. Things are shutting permanently now. In Sheffield, there's a venue called Ponds Forge. Yeah, Ponds Forge. It was built for the student games, Olympic swimming pool, two big gyms. You know, it's like a leisure center, but it's a big one in Sheffield. It's massive.
Okay. Yeah, big sports center.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. It's not opening. It's not reopening. Done. Yeah. And there's more and more friends being made redundant. Jobs are just going. They're shutting places.
That is, I can't believe they did that. It's just like burning a pile of money.
Well, I'm gonna take a thing. I watched a bit of not a podcast, whatever. A few things on New York, where New York is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zero deaths, full lockdown. Riots, looting, restaurants and that going out of business, tourist industry going to rat shit, yeah. All the rich people leaving.
Yep.
Why is it still locked down? Why is it locked down? Zero deaths recorded either yesterday or the day before in New York. Why is it locked down?
You want my opinion, Sam?
Yeah, of course I do. That's why we're chatting, mate.
Yeah.
I value your opinion.
Oh, thanks.
As a young man,
I mean, you make great points, and we are getting to that point where it's ridiculous. You know, it's like, how many more excuses are they going to come up with? I think it's the election. I can't think of any other possible explanation.
Okay, that's fine for your country.
Yeah.
There's no election in our country, mate. Right, Europe. Let me tell you about Europe. So I took my motorbike the other weekend, see a guy. I take him. He's 70 miles away from me. He's an ex-BMW mechanic, but I take my bike there. You know, you can sit and watch him. My bike gets serviced. I'm happy. I love my bike. Look after it. So he 2 years ago, booked a holiday for a month. He's at this exclusive place in Spain. So he was due to go. He said, I can't go. He was going to drive there. France is going into lockdown. If you enter France, you've got to stay 2 weeks. If you enter Spain, bear in mind he was going to drive to Spain. Spain's going in lockdown. You have to stop there 2 weeks. His holiday's for 4 weeks. If he come back, which he would have to drive back through France, he'd have to stay another 2 weeks.
Mm.
Croatia, I believe, is going into lockdown. So there's some British tourists stood there. The R naught, they said, or the percentage of people catching it, had gone up from this is the quote from 10, I think it was 10 in 1,000 to 27 in 1,000. So what? Are 27 people dying? No. Yeah? It's ridiculous. No one's talking about suicide rates. All the people who died who didn't go to hospital because they were fearful of COVID.
Yeah.
I understand if somebody works for the NHS worrying about it. But now, you know, things are closing, never to open. That Ponds Forge, I don't know how many people work there, mate, but that Ponds Forge is part of a big group that runs gyms, concert venues. If you went to Ponds Forge, you'd be impressed. You know, you walk in the reception area, it's lovely. You can get meals, lovely gyms, pool. They've even got a water slide for kids that actually comes out of the building over the road and back in, yeah? It's a big place. It is a big place. Gone. Done.
That's sad, so, man, because I know it's like those types of places where the city I'm staying in, when I was younger, when I was a lad, I remember that they made something similar. It wasn't as fancy as the one you're describing, it sounds like. But it was just like an indoor soccer place. But it was like a sports arena that they could turn into basketball, too. And, you know, is it good for the community, you know?
It is a concern, mate.
Yeah, that's sad that they had to shut down because of that. But do you – well, you brought up suicide before I changed the subject a little bit.
Yeah,
I saw this tweet. I was just trying to pull it up, and I screen capped it, but I didn't favorite it, so I can't bring it up. But that was a point that the person was making, and they did have quite a few favorites on it. Was nobody, you know, more people are dying from suicide and do die from suicide regularly, and why are not we making a big deal about it? And he said it was because I don't know what you think about this. It's mostly low status men that commit suicide.
Very sadly, there's probably something in that. You know, we raise issues in this country and in this world in general that are, for me, you know, they need putting in perspective. And if someone was there always putting them in perspective, it'd be like a slap across the face, a hard slap. You know, if you go back about a month or so, so again, you know, on YouTube, you see these people who say how it is. 2 million worldwide have died of COVID, yeah? He says in the same time, 40 million have died of starvation or something like that. You know, I remember one shocking figure there or thereabouts, you know me, mate. It was on about Ebola, the last Ebola strike that sort of took over the world press for a couple of weeks. You know, 15,000 people died. They managed to contain it. In the same area, 35,000 children died of measles. Measles. Something as simple as measles, 35,000 kids die. You know, nobody's on telly talking about that. So for me now, on the it was actually on the mainstream news the other night. I only saw a clip again on YouTube. I don't want mainstream news, as you know, full of shit. People losing their homes, the amount of people. They put provision in place in this country so you can get mortgage breaks, yeah? However, you know, different people, different circumstances, self-employed people, a lot of self-employed people are struggling. There's going to be thousands of people losing their homes, you know? So I'm looking at all these things. I'm looking at jobs, mental health, suicide, people losing their homes, places like Ponds Forge shutting, never to open again. You know, enough's enough. And the fact that they've taken down that hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, So there you go. You know, I'm not on about the cost. It costs $33 million to build or $12 million to knock down. I just want to know why it's gone. If you know, they've just started telling me to wear a mask everywhere I go. And you can't do things.
This is a clown world. Listen
to this one as well, Addy. This one of my friends who works like our last does in care gets tested, yeah? About 8-10 weeks ago, she was really poorly, yeah? Positive for COVID. 2 weeks off work. So it might be 3 months, you know. There or thereabouts. It's a good few weeks. She had a test before she went back to work, negative. She's had 8 or 9 negative tests. This week, she's not poorly. She's like me and you now. She's come back with positive again. She's got to be off work 2 weeks. So that's about 9-10 weeks apart. She's had a positive test, and work said, you've got to isolate for 2 weeks. What's that about?
You reminded me of something, Sam. I can't remember what African country it was. It was somewhere in South Central Africa. The president, he got these testing kits, and before giving them to anyone, he had his people test them on, and they put they made up the fake people's names, and the samples they gave were papaya. And I can't remember, I think it was like honey or something like that. And both of them came back positive. And it was like a meme I saw, and it was like, look it up. And I looked it up, and sure enough, there were news websites, multiple, that reported this as fact. And I was like, wow, I did not hear this anywhere. You know, and you brought up mainstream news. I was shocked to see Sky News Australia completely tearing apart the UK government's response to this and saying that it looks like Sweden got it right. And then he called it like the triple whammy of little economic negative effect, very few health effects or deaths.
And then,
what was the other? I can't remember what the other one was. But yeah, like all three. Yes, it looks like Sweden and Switzerland got it right, which seems like they always do.
So you've got Sky News Australia. They're brilliant. They say how it is then. They're no bullshitters.
You like them?
Sky News UK.
Yeah.
Dogs.
Yeah, that's dogs. Why I was like confused. I was like, Sky News Australia, was like, they're actually right about that. It seems
must be a different company, mate. I'll tell you what, because they report accurate. I like that. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no bullshit over there. You know, they call a spade as it is, and away you go. So for me now, mate, this is a load of bollocks. This, I'm done with it. I'm fed up with it, mate.
Your patience run out, Sam.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I saw this video I posted on my channel of a Sacramento military veteran making some. Did you see this?
No.
Making some very serious claims in front of the city council. He said, we have been peaceful and good citizens for this time, but we will not be peaceful much longer. He says, we will work with law enforcement or without law enforcement. And He went on to say that people, he had six friends or six people he knew who have committed suicide since the start of this.
Really?
Yeah, and that he knows certain people are struggling. He said starving, struggling to put food on the table. And yeah, I just don't know, like, even like I'm talking to people in my family and I'm just like, how are you guys, how are you, like, you know, it's, they're like Jedi mind tricking themselves into thinking all of this is okay or normal. And the thing is, this virus is not the same virus that came to Italy like half a year ago now, almost more than half a year ago.
Yeah, when you say it like that, that's, you know, there is a belief it was knocking about no October, November in this country, and I no doubt it was as well. So I'm done with it, and I'm sure a lot of people are. There's so many issues at the minute, but, you know, that I tell you, I watched a nice little clip, Ben Shapiro, on New York and the cities that are struggling. And he you know that guy, he always has the facts and figures. And he's showing you, you know, why is it locked down? Why are you saying if tourists come, they've got to be out? There's no reason. You know, New York's going to be flat on its ass. If you were a property tycoon, yeah, laughing. Let's go in and buy all this thing. And then it, but no, they should kick them out. It's disgusting.
Kick the politicians out?
Yeah, you know, mayor, what an asshole.
Yeah,
mayor and governor. Mayor and governor. Yeah.
Cuomo, you too. Know. How are people still defending him? I have no idea.
When there's people talk about your country, you know, if you said to anyone, name somewhere in America, I would think the vast majority of people, unless the specialist places they like going, New York.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And they have this image in New York, yeah. Which...
Empire State, 9/11.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I loved it. You know, I only spent 4 or 5 days there, and we crammed everything in we could see. You know, went here, went there, did this, did that. You know, a fantastic place, way better than London. I can't stand London. New York was amazing. You know, I loved it, loved the people. It got an atmosphere. You know, it was buzzing. You know, going in the bars, wherever you went, people dead polite. It was lovely. It was an amazing place with lots to see. I don't think I'll be going anytime soon. Even if I could afford to, you know.
Well, yeah. I saw this video. It just showed the craziness of New York in a way. It's just a few seconds. And there's like on the ground, there's two crackheads like wrestling. And then here, let me see if I can find it. And then, let me see if I can't pull it up. No, I can't. But there's two crackheads wrestling, and this guy does like an ollie. He's going on the bike lane. They're wrestling like in the bike lane, and this boy, he's like, it looks like he's maybe 14 or 13. He just jumps over them in his bike. It just doesn't miss a beat. Doesn't slow down, and he just jumps over him. And let me see if I can find this New York X Games. Oh yeah, here it is. Okay, we gotta see this, people. Okay, Sam's back. So here, let me show you this, Sam. Look at this. Okay, I gotta turn off my mic so there's no.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it's just crazy, man. New York, it's they're
rude, isn't it?
it seems like it. I mean, how do you? I don't understand how you defend these politicians anymore. And you know, if it was 15th century Italy, we'd be throwing rotten fruit at them, hanging one or at least one or two of them. you know.
If it was, I'm not sure what area in France, you'd be getting guillotined, mate.
Yeah, yeah, like the reign of terror. Yeah, during the reign of terror with that one politician. His name was like Robespierre, I think, or Robespierre. I'm not really sure how to pronounce it. Robespierre.
Wasn't he a French spy?
Yeah, I think so. And he was like always like switching sides and just headed out for, you know, he's like this one of these witch hunters, right? During that time, during that reign of terror, as it was called. I've only read a slightly bit about that, but I mean, it seems like it may go kinetic soon. Maybe not in the West just yet, but I don't know if you saw what's going on in Belarus. They had their internet cut by the government for 3 days and three nights. So they were in a complete internet blackout.
For what reason?
Their dictator, his name is Lukashenko, I believe. He has been their president, dictator, effectively, for about 25 years. And he just supposedly won an election, this past election, by 80% of the vote, which nobody is really buying.
Was it a postal vote?
Yeah. And who wants that, right? It's the Democrats, let's be honest. They're the ones that
exactly
are doing that.
Exactly.
And even the USPS said, I found this article, they said that if there is mail-in voting, some of the votes are going to be late, more than likely. And look, I'm still missing my TV. Remember I told you that like 4 months ago? I still don't have my TV. It's gone. It's just gone, I think. You know, I'm going to continue to try to, like, you know, pursue a claim on it. But I'm also missing, you know, one other thing, too. So it's just, you know, USPS is can't be trusted.
Let me tell you this. You know, in this country, the Labour Party, who at the minute, although I don't like doing politics, are shaping up pretty much to be like Democrats. They're absolutely full of shit. They have these mad agendas, the woke, SWJs and all this. They have had areas in this country, postal vote, where people have got in and it's found to be fraudulent. You know, I think Peterborough was one of them, a by-election. This guy got in and the people who were on his sort of team, you know, his election team, like you have all your crew around you, one of them had already done time for election fraud. So it just shows you what it's like, you know. Yeah. But for me, in this country, they're talking about it, and they should. You know, it's a serious thing having a vote. You turn up with your photo ID. I don't see why anyone's got a problem in that.
Yeah.
At all. What I do have a problem with.
Masks are supposed to work, you know. Then we all just wear masks and go vote. Anyways, well, you said you have a problem with something?
Well, you know, you can protest and that, but you can't go and queue to vote. Yeah, bullshit.
Right. I was trying to talk to my aunt about this, and I was like, don't you think that's fishy how they're not condemning protesters for being, you know, possibly spreading the contagion? And I can't remember what she said exactly, but you know, it just seems like people already have their minds made up about, they're not like being present, you know, they're not assuming formlessness and realizing that things are changing, things do change, and you have to adjust to those changes. And it's hard. You know, it's like the fog of war, like the tactics that were working maybe a couple minutes ago in a battle aren't going to work now. They're going to get you killed. And likewise, a strategy too. So I don't know. I'm like now in open debates with certain members of my family on email and DMs and stuff, because I think we're running out of time. Collectively, it seems like we're running out of time. George Webb certainly seems to think so. He said we're running out of time. He thinks there's another virus going to be released in October, but it does seem like we are coming to a head as far as the election goes. But why do you think, I don't think you said why you think that all of this is going on. You know, I thought it seems like it's the election is the biggest factor, but do you think that the election in the United States has such an effect on the world that it would affect all of these other countries like yours?
Well, obviously, yeah, you know, economics around America and things like that. I honestly don't know, but people aren't going to tolerate it. It's made life difficult for a lot of people, and you know, if people just the economic fallout that's happening right now in this country, they just need to say, right, get back on with what you're going to do, you know. I honestly think people start kicking off soon. If they come back in October and say we're on lockdown over winter, because people will be like, bollocks. I'll tell you, next thing that people are going to kick off about, and again, it's about personal choice, is if they come back with a vaccine. Because for me, the tests are shite. The tests are not accurate, and there's no way, me personally, you know, anybody else can do what they want, but me personally, I'm letting anyone stick anything in me to do with this COVID bollocks.
Yeah.
I consider myself, although a little older than you, fit enough or whatever. If I catch it, you know, consequences are mine. Mm. Yeah. As long as I don't give it anyone else, I'll deal with it. So I don't know, but what I do know is now the fallout is far greater. I'm fed up with the press. I hope some of the press fall flat on their ass, mate.
Yeah.
I honestly do. I hope the BBC gets defunded because they are full of shit and biased.
Yep.
You know, why people have to pay for that drivel, I don't know. Sky UK, absolute dogs. I hope Sky Australia buy them out and start reporting accurately. But yeah, you know, there's far greater issues in this virus. It's been blown up out of all proportion. People in the NHS might argue different, but no one's giving us the figures. No one's giving us the suicides, the mental health, the people losing homes, the homeless, the people losing jobs. Way. You know, and the fact that countries are locking down now, they're not reporting big deaths. Croatia's not got shitloads of deaths. The number's gone up. You know, I don't know how many people are getting tested a day. In Leeds, they've got facility to test. Well, I don't know how many people had it. When I went, in that one day, there was 1,100 spots available for testing. That's just in Leeds. Batley, no spots. They've had an outbreak, but they're not reporting no deaths. So you look at all the cities in this country that have test centres. How many people are getting tested now? We don't even know that anymore. You know, they might be testing 100,000 people a day. I don't know.
Yeah, you know? I mean, with that kind of rate, you could easily test most of the country in a matter of weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? But me personally, you know, I've had enough now. And I'm sure a lot of other people are getting fed up with it and that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you got that Sacramento man who is saying basically like he that's another thing too. He said, we're getting organized. He said, we are getting organized. And he said, I've been to combat and I've seen the worst of humanity and I don't want to go back to combat, but he said, I will do so. And I will do it against the citizens of this country if need be. And, you know, I'm with him too. I've never been to combat and I would rather not go, but you know, upholding the Constitution is you have to fight terrorists, you know, domestically too, you know, people, traitors.
Listen, I did see something that was quite interesting and pretty scary. Is there an ammunition shortage in America?
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
Do you not see, more so than guns, the fact that they're struggling to get bullets, to me, suggests that,
yeah. You know, this has been the highest gun sales, I think, ever this year. My cousin just got an AR. I'm actually going to shoot it next week. Looking forward to that. And hey, I've been in touch with, I have a friend. I'm not going to say what state he's in, but he's in the out west, and he said he's been having a bit of trouble finding 5.56 ammo, which is the NATO cartridge. But yeah, there's definitely an ammo shortage going
what
on.
What did he pay for that? What did he pay for that weapon?
My cousin did for the AR. Yeah.
How much it cost?
In total, it was about, I think he said $1,200 with his sight and.
What's that? About a grand in this country, yeah? £1,000.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got it. About £1,000 for that. And then of course bullets you gotta pay for, which they'll shoot the 5.56 NATO. But he's also got a riot shotgun. It's a Mossberg 960, I think it's called, which I've shot that one. It's a semi-automatic shotgun. It's so fun, Sam. It's so fun to shoot. I think I have a video of it I can send you. It might be on this phone, I'm not sure. But
does he live in the country?
Yeah, and I actually thought about I'm with my bro right now, my older bro, but when I first was like, okay, I'm moving back to the Midwest from the Pacific Northwest, I wanted to move out in the country by him, and because I got other family out there too. We're pretty close to him, you know, we're about a 90-minute drive, but if shit pops off, that's where I'm going, and I'm driving there immediately, taking all my food, cash if I have it, and I'm just gonna go there. But the lucky thing about being there is that's where people are going to go. That's what happened in World War II. That's where the resistance fighters went, is that they had to go out in the deep forests to hide from the SS and the Nazis and the Jews too, who were hiding. They had to go out in the deep forests. And, you know, it's just they don't have the manpower to comb every forest in the United States, you know. Or Canada or wherever, you know. So, and there's going to be pockets where they just where they're just going to miss people because, you know, those people know the land. But I do think things like drones make things very it's just that it's a much different, you know, war environment than it is in World War II. It's quite unique in that sense. But I don't know. I think one good thing maybe is that our government doesn't have they value human life more so than the Chinese do, certainly.
They're over there, they just incarcerate millions, don't they?
Yeah, and they execute the most people in the world, and more so than the previous, I think, 7 countries combined, I read. And that's just on what they report, which, you know, you'd think it's going to be a higher number than that.
It's pretty shocking, isn't it? It needs to. Anyway, let's be done with that. Let's talk about some positive stuff. Eh?
Yeah. Before we go there, Sam, what can we do? Like, what do you think we can action-wise do for you in the UK, me in the US?
Things are different. Is what I think will happen. People will stop wearing masks, you know. all the shops are, most shops are not policing it, you know. They've got enough on. If you're at work, if somebody comes in without a mask, without getting into confrontation, people will stop wearing them. Like a few places I've seen on news in America where they've shut businesses down and take licenses off them, and people are, that gym guy, big gym somewhere, he's been open. They've actually taken his business license off. I don't know if it's in Seattle. He said, I'm not shutting down, you know. I'll clean the gear, but if my clients want to come and use my gym. So they boarded his gym up, so he broke into his gym. And now the town or city or whatever have taken his business license off him, so he can't train. But he says he's going to carry on fighting on, you know. It's his business. He's built it up. Nobody's got a right to take that off him.
Yeah.
Although there's been very little sort of demonstrating in this country, I think the vast majority of people, I keep calling them the silent majority, at some point will not be the silent majority.
They'll be the vocal majority.
Yeah, I think they will. Our police force is decimated anyway. Our police force, although people are trying to direct criticism at, you know, there's nowhere near as much criticism as aimed at yours, but they don't have firearms. They don't all have firearms or anything like that.
Well, it's certainly more compartmentalized, because that's a reform that I've heard people talk about is, you know, maybe getting some female social service workers to deal with certain issues, or
you need that over here.
Yeah.
You need that over here.
Yeah. However, and then you don't need the muscle every single time, you know.
You don't, but you also, you know, you need to be switched on as well. It's the administration that don't work. I'll give you an example. So hopefully this weekend I'm going to sort my YouTube channel out. I'm going to be sisters. Yeah.
Some of you are going to help me. I'm looking forward to it. And as soon as you got it going, plug it on all my socials.
Yeah, mate. Look, yeah. I've got some content. I've done a couple of vlogs just to get up there. The interview bit, you know, this lockdown's a bit of a pain. However, I've talked to two lads who are happy. You know, we'll social distance, even if we're coming here in me conservatory, sit there, cup of coffee each, away we go. So what I was going to say to you, like somebody, the three vlogs I said to do, the first three vlogs, I asked people on Twitter to ask me, so prison healthcare, prison officers and corruption. The officers, they want to know why people do this job, nasty people. You know, people have their own idea about who should be doing it. So I've dealt with that. Prison healthcare. So I've worked at two prisons, yeah. The systems that were in place for prisoner healthcare were fantastic. The facilities were fantastic, yeah. You had everything that you have on the out, and in most cases, you will get to see them quicker. So you had dentists, chiropodists, you had someone looking at people's eyes.
What's a chiropodist, Sam?
Feet, does things with the feet and that.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
Optician, you know, looking at eyes, you could get glasses. Dentists were fantastic. They used to have a sexual health clinic that come in once a week for prisoners. So the facilities were fantastic. The systems were in place. However, it's the people who were operating them. And I'm going to tell you this. You'll like this because, you know, I like to include a little story. I can't remember the lad's name. It will come to me at some point. It was a prisoner who was involved in a big drug smuggling ring, yeah? However, he was quite poorly. He had a lot of medical complications. You know, heart problem, all sorts of problems, way more than anyone else. So when he went to trial, when he was on trial and found guilty, the judge said he was prepared to have him under house arrest, curfew, yeah, for a good period of time if the prison couldn't facilitate his medical needs. In other words, if he went to prison, He shouldn't be deteriorating. They should be able to manage his illnesses and conditions. I used to call him the million-pound prisoner because when he first came in, he come onto the healthcare, he had a box about that big, yeah? You opened it, full of medications. It was actually costing the prison at that time, when he first come into prison, about £14,000 a month for medication for him. Yeah.
Wow.
That went up significantly over the period of time he was incarcerated. In fact, he was actually on, you know, medications, Addy, as you take them over a period of time, some become less effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was actually on some animal medications for some of his conditions, because the human medications had exhausted him.
Oh, wow.
And I've never known this before. He was on like a couple of creams and things like that that are for like dogs and stuff like that. However, he could walk, but not very well. So when what used to happen, in the morning, they'd have the clinic set up for 9 o'clock, yeah? So there'd be a couple of officers like myself, and our job was to get prisoners over to the healthcare. They'd have a big holding room, get them in there. As soon as the clinic started, you know, one out, one in. When you had a number of prisoners, you'd take them back to the wing and maybe fetch some more. If you had good staff, it worked really well. If you were with shit staff, it was a pain in the arse and not so good. This lad, I remember him showing me a letter. Over a year, let's say, he had 300 medical appointments in the healthcare at Strangeways, yeah?
Wow.
He'd got all the figures down. Let's say he attended 180 and missed 120, which is a lot. He had the names of the staff who, when he attended, were on. So there'd be me and my mate, you know, Officer Samworth, Officer Smith, Officer Jones. The ones he'd miss, Officer XYZ. Same staff. Same staff would bring him over. Other staff couldn't be bothered, or they'd make excuses up. He knew that. He put complaints in. He wrote to his MP, Member of Parliament. He wrote to his barrister. He wrote to the head of the prisons, and he did the complaints, and he got loads of compensation, yeah. So the systems are in place. If you get the staff to operate them, it used to work well. And sometimes in one day, just one day, we maybe fetch 120 prisoners to the healthcare to see a doctor, see a chiropodist, see the dentist, see the sexual health practitioner, see a nurse, yeah. That's 1 in 10 prisoners in one day will be seeing some sort of medical person, or, you know, they'd be receiving some treatment. But like I say, on a good day, that's how it would work. If you got lazy staff, you'd struggle. So the systems are in place. Yeah, it's how it operates. Which sadly is the case with a lot of prison facilities and that. I've actually forgot the point of why I was telling you that story now.
Yeah, we were talking about just healthcare in general, I think.
However, let me tell you something about this guy as well.
Yeah.
I quite liked him. I talked to him. He weren't obnoxious. You know, he's quite an intelligent fella. He accepted he'd got a prison sentence. He was upset that he was becoming more ill because the prison wasn't providing him with the medical treatment he should be getting. Now, you can argue that. Some people would say it's his own fault or whatever. Yeah? But I remember Christmas Day, and this is another thing about prison officers, yeah? This guy, if he went to visit, if you'd have to fetch him from a wing, you know, you come off the wing outside, take him to visit. They had a back entrance with a lift. Because obviously he's in a wheelchair, can't walk upstairs to visit. I took him to visit Christmas Eve. So they don't have no visits Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve, he was in a visit with his missus. Now the lift was out of action. It had been out for 2 weeks, yeah? But they'd done nothing about it. They made no effort in the prison. Again, people will say, well, why should they? Well, you know, people need that facility. So I'm looking at it from his point of view. So I took him to visit. So we're at the bottom of the steps. The lift's there, not working. Do you know what an evacuation chair is?
No.
Right, an evacuation.
Is that where you press a button and then you shoot out?
No. So evacuation. Very James Bond. An evacuation chair, it's almost like a trolley with a seat that you use for taking people up and down stairs. So in an old people's home, you'd have one. If there was a fire and somebody couldn't walk, they were bedbound, you could put them in this chair and get them down the steps, yeah? So they said to him, we've got the evac chair. So he went, no, I'm not using that. That is an evacuation chair for emergency purposes. It's not for getting me up to visits. Yeah? I'll use the lift. The lift's not working. So his wife walked past. The exchange pleasantries. You're right, love, yeah? He says, I won't be coming on the visit. The lift's not working. So she went upstairs. She had no choice because all the visitors were brought up. The officer, like, got proper arsey with him. Are you going to use... He says, no. Is the lift working? No. I'll go back to the wing. Now, I put a complaint in. I believe he got a good few thousand for missing that visit with his wife on Christmas Eve. Yeah. And he was always complaining, but, and that's why people didn't like him. But there is a complaint system. He wasn't abusing it, you know. He, like everyone else, is entitled to certain things, and the prison service had promised certain things. So if you don't deliver on them, you're going to get punished. But yeah, I call it million-pound prisoner because the actual cost of his healthcare was going up, and I could see it, you know, might well be now if he's still in. I don't know. I could see it costing, you know, 50,000-60,000 pounds a month just for his medical treatment and that.
Do you remember what conditions he had exactly, Sam? He must have had more than one.
Well, he had an heart condition. I think he had diabetes. He had something wrong with his eyes. He eventually would be blind. Basically, his body, his immune system was shutting down. Got kidney problems.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of tablets was unbelievable. When he first come to healthcare, like I say, he had a box full of medication, full. You know, he was taking, I don't know, 40, 50 tablets a day or something. Wow. And then you end up taking tablets to protect your stomach, you know, because of all the medication you're taking. That much medication going through your kidneys is not going to be good. You know, he really, the prison, he'd have been better off in his home. Yeah?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, you know, they took that on. We also had other people, you know. We had a lad come in a wheelchair who had no use. Paraplegic, he had no use of his lower body. Oof. Again, the level of care he needed, prison, we didn't have the facilities to look after him. Most of the cells, it's a Victorian jail, yeah, have really small doorways, they're brick built. A wheelchair wouldn't go in most cells. So if you've got someone who's in a wheelchair, you're having to take them out of the wheelchair to get them in the cell and in the bed. The wheelchair won't, most wheelchairs, even slimline, wouldn't even pass through the doorway. So they used to set the cells up, really. So as far as prison healthcare goes, you know, the facilities are there, the systems are in place. It's down to the quality of staff, like it used to be with everything.
Yeah.
If when I used to do that job, because we worked upstairs on inpatients, that's where, you know, mental health people who were physically ill and that were housed. Because we worked up there, we quite often worked downstairs as well. If I was on with the right staff, fantastic. Yeah, great day.
Yeah.
Got a couple of staff. Staff had just disappeared. They bring some prisoners and then you'd be on the radio trying to find them. They just, you know, it was really, really hard work. So prison healthcare, as is, the facilities are as good as you would get on the out. It's the quality of staff who are working to those systems. That is the problem.
So, how are you doing with your own mental health, Sam?
Me, I'm really busy at the minute, which is good. I do a lot of driving, me. I've been to Manchester a couple of times this week, Sheffield two or three times. I mean, it's only 50 mile, but, you know, it's still couple of times, I've been a couple of times in day, so you're looking at like 3 or 4 hours a day driving. I'm trying to do my vlogs. I'm starting a blog as well. That hopefully will be up and running very soon. So, and I'm also talking to people. There's some amazing people. Just keep contacting me. You know, people who have been through their own traumas and aren't well. And speaking to those people, you know, even if you're just exchanging messages or emails, you know, it helps you, as it were. So the busier I am, the better. A minute sleep's terrible. That's the only thing that's... if the one thing that would improve my life, if I could sleep for 5 hours a night, you know, I'd be like...
Wow. You can't so sleep that long, Sam.
Oh, it's rubbish. You know, I'll go to bed, sort of drifting in and out for a couple of hours, and then sort of from 2 o'clock, I used to get up. Now, I just tend to just lay in bed or whatever. I don't want to disturb the missus, but my sleep is horrendous. But it's same thing, you know. You get up now, I'm really tired. By about 10 o'clock, you sort of get your second wind. Take dog out for a good walk. Do a bit around the house and that, and away you go. So, you know. But there's a lot of people who've gone through a lot of bad shit. And that's the other thing. I don't know. I must be talking to a dozen people who have really struggled in this lockdown because of their circumstances. So there must be thousands.
Must
literally. I think normal people, when I say normal, you know, I'm not calling anyone out, but the isolation, there's an old lady lives on our road. Yeah. So when we first moved in 12 months ago, we used to speak to her a lot, and I obviously hadn't seen her. I saw her the other day, first time in months. I just said, "Are you all right?" She says, "Yeah, I've been isolating." So basically, she's not left the house for 4 months. Family have sort of been dropping shopping on the doorstep, you know. And you just look at that, then there must be thousands and thousands of people who aren't coped. But yeah, thanks for asking. The busier I'm getting, you know, I'm excited about what I'm doing. Started working on the second book, sat down with a writer. We had a really good 3 or 4 hours. You know, we've sort of decided where we're going to start. So, you know, that's something else that having one book, you know, was like, you know, it was a bit special. I got a good deal on that, you know.
You got to be in it to win it. Mr. Addy adds.
Yeah, of course you have. Exactly. That's it, isn't it, mate? Got to be in it to win it. Yeah, so it's all good. It's all good, you know. There's lots of projects. This next 6 months, I'm hoping, just go supersonic. The podcast, lots of people to interview. Normal people who I did know already, but I didn't realise some of the things they've done. Like, I go to a networking group, and there's a guy there who used to be a magistrate. So in this country, you have magistrates' court, yeah, and then you have Crown Court. A magistrate can only give a 6-month prison sentence. So what usually happens, if you committed a semi-serious crime, you go to magistrates' court, they'll send you to Crown Court, because all they can give is 6 months. So this guy was a magistrate for 20 years. So he has his own frustrations from the criminal justice system. From his point, like me, I might think magistrates aren't qualified. They're not like judges. They're not qualified. So you could be a magistrate or I could be a magistrate. So from that point of view, I always, you know, sort of thought they're like Jobsworths or whatever. Yeah. However, speaking to him, you know, myself, it'll be an interesting conversation, because I've seen a different side to it. There's a policeman, he's retired now, that has said he'd, you know, be happy to interview. So he did 30 years. But by his own admission, it was the wrong career choice, because
wow,
he saw a lot of bad things. Not necessarily, you know, people perpetrating bad things, but he saw a lot of misery, a lot of bad things. It affected him. It affected his family. So I have never come across anyone who's been honest enough to say, you know, I was a cop of 30 years old. I bet you, well, actually, I regret that 30 years. I wish I'd have been a librarian or an engineer or a bus driver.
That's very rare to find that level of self-honesty. That's a lot of time. That's your life right there.
Exactly. And to just say point blank, you know,
I made a mistake.
It was a bad choice. It was a bad choice. There's obviously a lot of ex-customers, different points of view. There's one lad who keeps having a bit of a dig. I do know who he is. And he's like, there's been very few people who've been super negative, but he's like, oh, you're a bully, you did this, you did that, all sorts of things. I said, well, I'm going to have a podcast. Come on and tell people what I like, you know. I'm happy for you to come on and tell people what I were like, but he's not having it. Interesting. I got a little message the other day. Somebody who's following me on Twitter, an ex-customer, a lad, sent a message through his missus saying, look, this lockdown's affecting me bad. Can I speak to you? Can we have a chat? So I've been talking to him as well. So these little bits, you know, plus Dolly, people like Dolly. I don't know the full story, but just normal people who struggle. And what I found out with the book, it's helped lots of people. Lots of people have read it, you know, gone and got the help because they saw where they were or recognized aspects of it. So, yeah, I just want to get out there and help people, mate. So if I can get a channel and 1,000 people watch it who are not doing so good and it helps them and maybe have a bit of a laugh and a smile, then
yeah, definitely.
What we want to do.
Get your Patreon going too, GoFundMe and all that. And shout out to Dolly, one of my subscribers, who is a big fan of Sam. Likewise, frequently interacting with both of us on Twitter and the YouTubes. So shout out to her. But we are at 1 hour and 2 minutes, Sam. That was really fun chatting with you today, Big Sam. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And that's good
to know. You too, dude.
Keeping busy. This has been Across the Pond. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. K, Tim, Babito, I saw you chatting earlier too, and everyone else who has been tuning in. So stay frosty, folks. All the best from the Midwest and Yorkshire, Sheffield.
Speak soon, yeah?
Until next time.
See you later, dude.